And indeed, this is Julio Martinez, and it's good to be back with you this 2223, and we're looking forward for a whole year of celebrating live theater and cabaret in this great Los Angeles area. And I was very happy to see that a play by Warren Light was having its West Coast premiere. About 20 years ago, I reviewed the West Coast premiere of another play he did, Sideman, which was at the Pasadena Playhouse. And I was so smitten by his work, I kept waiting. When am I going to see another work by this man? Well, now it's here. This is at the Victory Theater, and it's a West Coast premiere. And Hope Front takes place around 1945. World War II is early over. An African-American soldier has come home. He meets a white woman. And somewhere along the way, they develop a relationship. And this is about their home front relationship. And in studio, I have C.J. Lindsay. Hi, sir.
Hi, Julio. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. And Austin Highsmith Garces, an actress I've known since she was a little ingenue at Russell Group Theater, is on her way. And unfortunately, she ran into that very familiar situation that has happened to us many times over the years, an accident on the freeway. But she's on her way. She probably will be here about 10 after. So I'm going to have the delightful pleasure to talk to you about everything.
Indeed.
How did you two come upon this play?
You know, it's a funny story. I actually received an email from Maria Gobetti, her and her husband, Tom Ormaney, run the theater. I received an email probably about 6 months ago saying that I had been recommended to audition for a brand new play called Homefront by Warren Light. And please click the link below for script and audition details. Now I said, hold up a minute. Click a link. You know, these scammers are getting real creative with their scam emails because they know I'm an actor, so they know I'll click it. But it didn't have any details in the first email I received about who had recommended me, right? So I just dismissed the email. I deleted it. And I told my wife, I said, man, they are getting clever with these email scams. And so then about 2 weeks later, I received another email from Maria, same format. But this time it said that Ben Gilroy from the Roby Theater downtown had recommended you. And would you be interested in? I said, okay. Now we're talking, you know. So that's how I came upon idea of doing this play. And I read the play, and I called Maria right away, and I said, where do I show up for the audition?
Had you worked at the Roby? I'm an old friend of Ben Gilroy.
Yes, I've done several readings down at the Roby. I've never done a full-length play there, but I've done several readings since I've moved to Los Angeles about 6 years ago. And so I've gotten the chance to work with Ben quite a few times.
Uh-huh. So you got the play. What was your reaction to it when you read it?
Well, I had moved to Los Angeles 6 years ago. I'm coming from New York and having a background in theater. And obviously we know in L.A. it's primarily about film and television work. But I always have a deep desire to do theater. And so I told my wife, I said, you know, I can't wait to do a play. I want to do a play. I want to do a play. And I want to do a period piece. You know, I really had this strong desire to do a period piece. And so when I read the play and it said it took place in 1945 after World War II, VJ Day, and it was about an interracial relationship, you know, my ears perked up. I said, oh, man, this is it, you know. And so, because I also come from an interracial relationship. My mother's of European descent. My father's of African descent. So I, you know, I've obviously grown up through the struggles of what that means in this country to be in an interracial marriage and to be a product of an interracial marriage. So, yes, so I was really drawn to this piece. And, you know, but really what drew me to the piece was the injustices that James Walker, who I play in the play, goes through. Because I really, that what we as black men in this country have to go through with this legal system is time and time again, heartbreaking, you know. And so I just jumped at the opportunity to tell a story about a man who stands up for himself for a crime that he did not commit, you know. So it's about an interracial couple, but beyond that, it's about the injustices that take place in this system, in the country, and within the military.
Well, you and Dawson, of course, were too young to remember World War II, but your director certainly remembers World War II. Mm-hmm. Did you have a lot of questions?
I did, and for me, you know, the first thing I do when I get a piece, and especially a period piece, is I start to do my own research, right? And the first thing that I wanted to do was find out who were the Golden 13. So the character that I play, James Aurelius Walker, was a member of the Golden 13, fictionally. He wasn't an actual member of the Golden 13, but it's based on this group of men who were promoted to naval officers by the Navy as what we kind of find out is more of a PR stunt than anything. They didn't see combat, but they did receive the rank of lieutenant. And so I immediately started to do my research about the Golden 13. And there's a book by Dan Goldberg on the Golden 13. And so I immediately downloaded that into my Audible and, proceeded to listen to about 8 hours of this book, which really put me in the headspace of who these men were and what they had to go through. And then I have family who are in the Navy. So I reached out to my cousin, Willie Evans, and he was ecstatic about the idea that I was going to be playing a black lieutenant. And then he proceeded to hit me to some friends of his who were also naval lieutenants and captains and who had been mentored by some of the Golden 13. And so I got on the phone with those guys, and so I got to talk. I mean, you know, it was just really something else, man, to learn about these men and what they went through.
Well, you did your research.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you have to. You know, you have to, because it's just, for me as an actor, you know, to embody, you know, a man like this, you know, you have to know what struggles they went through, you know what I mean, in order to portray that on stage, you know.
Now, there's another accent to this play I found interesting. Jonathan Slavin mm-hmm. plays a gay man.
Yes.
Who is, I guess, a neighbor of yours. Mm-hmm. And he was in the military. Mm-hmm. I'm sure going through his own problems. And so all that is integrated into the mix of the relationship and the developing romance between your character and Austin's character.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you would think that two men who have struggles in this world, right, to, have equity, you know, and to be, considered citizens amongst, their peers in the military, you would think that these two would kind of befriend each other, you know, but it's the exact opposite. And I believe a lot of it has to do with stereotypes of black men, men in general during that time period against gay men, right? It wasn't acceptable. And so I have he's definitely homophobic, you know, and also more beyond that, even though he's a gay man, he's a man. You know, and he's spending a lot of time with my woman. You know what I mean? And so regardless, he's just of that nature of, you know, look, you're my woman. You know what I mean? And I'm going to take care of you. You don't need anybody else, you know. And then, you know, obviously, as the play goes along, you come to find out that I wind up getting incarcerated. For trying to help a young man who was being lynched by a mob in the South, in South Carolina. And so I go away for some time. And so Annie is left alone and pregnant. And Edward is really there for her. And it's not until I come back from that that I think that there's a transition of, you know, what this man has done for my wife and eventually for my child, you know, in a time of need.
You know. Now, you're at the Victory Theater. How much rehearsal time did you have?
So I think I auditioned for this play at the end of August, right? And there was another gentleman who had been casted as Edward, and he received an offer for a television show in which he couldn't pass up. And so we had to recast. Austin had already been casted because she's the one who connected with Warren about the play and brought it to Maria. So she had already been casted, and she's done some readings of it on Zoom. So she had already been casted. So when I auditioned with her and this other gentleman. So we had to recast him. And so that took quite some time. Maria was really committed to finding the right people for this play, you know, and she wouldn't settle. She is something else, man. So she wouldn't settle. And we auditioned, I don't know how many guys she auditioned for James, but we auditioned, I would think maybe at least 20 guys.
Wow.
It had to be right, and we're so blessed to have Jonathan Slavin play Edward. And he stepped in and was just the right man for the job. And mainly because he is a gay man, you know, and he is a gay activist. He is committed to it in his world of acting for gay characters to be played by people who are gay. Because of, you know, and I've learned so much from him about that idea, about how, that they're marginalized, right? Just as we are as black men. And that, you know, obviously it's a very specific experience to walk through this world as a black man. It's a very specific experience to walk through the world as a gay man, you know? And so those roles should go to, you know, people who have that experience, you know.
How much time did you have to rehearse?
So we did, after we casted Jonathan, I think it was about maybe 2 months after I got casted, we had another about 2 months of rehearsal.
Now, you opened last week, January 13th. Did you have any previews before then?
We did. The previous weekend, we did four shows for some great audiences, and that's really when you realize, oh, we got a good play on our hands here.
Now, this is rather a serious play on many levels. Were you surprised where the laughs were when you first had an audience?
It's really incredible, man. Jonathan is so funny, you know, and so some of the things he says, even though you may not think it's supposed to be, it becomes funny. And then some of the things, the through lines of the play, where there are serious moments, you can't help but laugh because of the association from previous moments in the play. So I absolutely was very surprised. But that's a part of live theater, you know, getting those laughs where you least expect them.
Well, I have to say, you play Friday and Saturday night at 8.
Yes.
And you have a 4 p.m. Sunday,
yes,
matinee. And you're running through February 13th?
Our last show is February 12th.
February 12th, right. I actually have February 19th. But, oh, she's here. Mm-hmm. Oh, very good. The distaff side of this interview is arrived in the theater. I hope her car and she are, yes, all right. The 405 can be treacherous. But so we're going to continue with Austin Highsmith. I'm just going to do this commercial a bit. You are listening to KPFK 90.7 FM. If you're in Santa Barbara, you're listening to it. It's 98.3 FM. And if you're somewhere in New York looking for a play to see, you're listening to it stream live around the world over kpfk.org. And as I said, I'm interviewing two people today, and the second person has just slipped into her chair. There you are, Austin. Do you have, that's the mic. No.
This side?
No, the other way.
This way.
No, the other way.
This way.
Really? No, you were right the first time. Okay. I was looking at it wrong. I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's all right.
Well, Austin, it's good to see you again.
It's good to see you, too. Thank you for having me. The 405 had other plans, but, you know, we made it work.
You didn't run into the vice president's entourage, did you?
Is that why there was trouble?
She's in the San Fernando Valley.
That's why, then. Because I never saw an accident, but they said that there was three.
Well, there probably was, too.
Well, Austin, you are a very old friend.
Yes.
I remember you when you were a youthful ingenue at the Group Repertory Theater.
Yes.
You acted in three of my plays, actually.
Yes, I did. At the Ruskin Group, yep. Absolutely.
So I was so delighted to see your name involved in this. But you have become very active. You've become a producer, a writer.
It's true.
Yes?
Yeah.
And you brought this work to the Victory, didn't you?
I did. Through happenstance, I connected with Warren Light, the Tony Award-winning writer of our play, on Twitter. And he had tweeted about this play, and I'm in an interracial marriage, as you know.
Yes.
And I wanted to read it, so I tweeted at him and asked how I could get a copy. And that began a 4.5-year process of me trying to get it on stage. And then Maria Gobetti from the Victory reached out and said, I want to do a play about an interracial couple. Do you have anything? And I was like, I do, as a matter of fact. So that's how we got it to the Victory.
When I first received the press release, I didn't realize who was in it because I was immediately drawn to Warren Light. I reviewed the West Coast premiere of Sideman when it played at the Pasadena Playhouse about 23 years ago.
Wow.
And I was so excited about the play and his writing. I used to be a sideman, so it really attracted me.
The funny thing is that I knew Warren from SVU. I didn't know that he was a Tony Award-winning playwright. And then when Maria was like, you know, he's won a Tony, I was like, get out of town. You know, I was already very impressed with his writing because, I mean, it's just so layered and so rich, and the depth that we've been able to mine in this is just incredible because of his writing and because of the clues that he kind of gives you to the people's past. And so, I mean, I just feel personally very honored, and also to act opposite CJ is just a dream. You look into his eyes and it's like just an ocean of availability.
She knows we have a show tonight. So she's nice. But no, I've told her from the moment I stepped on stage with her in the audition, she gave me everything that an actor could ask for and being present. And yeah, we've had a connection since. So it's been a delight.
As I mentioned to CJ, you both weren't around during World War II, but your director certainly was. Did you have to do a lot of research into the period?
I've actually done a lot of World War II-based material. I was in All My Sons.
That's
I was in a lot of short films and a couple of other like actual films in that time period, so I was already quite familiar with it. And also, I'm a bit of a history geek. That was one of my majors in college, was poli-sci, and it was specifically about post-World War II Europe in the Eastern Bloc and sort of just all of the crazy quote-unquote democracies that existed back then that were not. So I was already sort of a geek on the subject. So I didn't have to do any specific research for this, but you know, I drew on my past research for it.
Now, you opened August 13th. You've had some...
January 13th.
January 13th,
yeah.
Excuse me. And you've had some performances under your belt. How has the audience reaction been?
I'll let CJ speak to this.
Well, I've already did. I mean, we were talking about the laughter in places that we didn't expect it. I mean, it's far from a comedy, but there's so much comic value to that Jonathan brings to it that really heightens the drama and the frankly heartbreaking, you know, story.
And we've actually, I mean, knock on wood, and we're not expecting it every single night, obviously, but we've had standing ovation every single performance, and that has demanded, much to my chagrin, a second curtain call. CJ has to drag me out. I don't think that they're a thing, but they say that they are.
Directed by Maria.
Well, do you have talkbacks at all?
We haven't yet, but I think we might this weekend. I'm not really sure.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But we do go out afterwards and hang out in the lobby and talk to people about their experience with the play. And a lot of teary eyes, and just gratitude for the play. So that's always nice.
I've seen the photographs of the play. I'm seeing it this weekend.
Oh, yay.
I've seen the photographs, and it took me back. You look like my mother. The hairdo, the style of clothes.
I'm back there, like, frantically putting my hair into pin curls.
Did someone have to teach you to do that hairstyle?
YouTube did. Yeah, they're a great professor.
University of YouTube.
So, in your careers, Austin, I remember when you began to venture forth out of the Ruskin into the world. What are you working on, other things, a film project at all? Or?
I have a couple things that I've written that are out there that, you know, hopefully are going to get produced this year. You know, I never believe anything is real until I'm standing at craft services, like, you know, dressing my coffee. But another movie that I co-wrote that I actually also got to act in, as well as my husband, should maybe be coming out in April. So we'll see. Yeah. And then just auditioning, like, you know, crazy.
And how about you, CJ? Do you have other projects?
Well, I'm not a writer or don't have any aspirations. I shouldn't say I don't have any aspirations to write, but I don't have any of those things going on. But I am auditioning like crazy, like Austin, and I've been blessed to be able to work, you know, here and there in the industry. We know it's hard, I also have a wife who's in the industry, and we've been blessed to be able to work together and make a film together, and hopefully that path continues as well.
Yeah, that's very enjoyable. My wife became my director. She directed everything I did at the restaurant.
My wife directs everything I do in my life, too.
His wife is also just the most beautiful person that you've... I mean, and talented. Like, it's just, it's not fair, almost.
So, I've been very interested. The play's a success. It's running... I have through the February 12th. It's the 19th here, but is it the 12th?
The 12th.
It's the 12th right now, and then hopefully we'll extend if the audience is, if anybody's listening, come see our show. We promise you will not be disappointed. You'll have a wonderful evening of theater. And if the audiences allow, we will definitely extend.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Whether you have a possibility of extending or moving it to another space.
I mean, you know, I've kept CJ and Jonathan a little bit, abreast of this. But Warren and I are definitely trying to see if we can move this with the whole cast to New York. So we're exploring all those possibilities, and then also, you know, the linear move to another bigger house in Los Angeles, which isn't very common. But you know, we're exploring that option as well.
Yeah,
so good. We'll see.
As I said, the name of the play is Homefront. It's written by Warren Light. It's having its West Coast premiere at the Victory Theater Center, which is located at 3326 West Victory Boulevard in Burbank. You can get tickets by going to thevictorytheatercenter.org. And you'll do Sunday 4 p.m. matinee, little bit later.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah. That way they can just go straight to dinner, and they don't have to, you know, worry about killing in a couple hours. Yeah.
And I mentioned him earlier, but not since you've been here. The third member of your ensemble is Jonathan Slavin.
Yes, Jonathan Slavin. He actually used to be one of my acting coaches back in the day. Whenever I had comedy, I always went to Jonathan because nobody understands comedy better than that guy.
He gets a good laugh.
Yeah, he does. I mean, as the LA Times said, he has them eating out of the palm of their hands.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, or his hand, rather.
We're reaching the end of our show, but I do need to mention, following me is Donna Walker's Pacifica Performance Showcase. And her guests are filmmaker Bridget Murnane of Bella, about Bella Lewitsky, and Kelly Hargrave to talk about Dance Camera West. Now that you're into the show, has much changed in the dynamic of it? Are you finding other things to find?
I mean, I think we're just settling in and telling the story now. We're not worrying so much about the things that you worry about in rehearsal, you know, that can potentially put you in your head, like, oh, which door am I coming in and which prop am I supposed to pick up and that kind of thing. So now we're really just connecting with one another and telling this beautiful story.
Do you have many costume changes?
Yes. I mean, it's,
quick ones.
It doesn't seem like I have a lot, but like CJ said, like they're very fast. So, and we have to give a shout out to our stagehands and our stage manager who just, Omar and Netta backstage and then Cody in the booth, they are just magic workers and they just help us with everything. And it's, we really couldn't do it without them.
Well, I'm really thankful you made it. I was worried when it's an accident on the 405. Mm-hmm. I think of the full range of possibilities to arranging your wake to
Thankfully it was nothing like that, but I was definitely sitting still and I panicked, called CJ about like 9 times. I was like, I'm so sorry, I'm calling you again, but here's what's happening.
Yeah, well, now you know. You can blame it on the administration. But I want to thank you all for being here at KPFK. This is your host, Julio Martinez. I've been here since 1987, celebrating the best in live theater and cabaret in the greater Los Angeles area. Following me is Donna Walker. And if you want to hear the show again, it'll be on kpfk.org for 90 days. Just go to there, go to our time and time and date, and you can listen to it forever. Mm-hmm. So for this is your host, Julio Martinez. For my guests, Austin Highsmith Garces and CJ Lindsay, and for Jonathan Slavin, who couldn't be here, I want to thank you all. And please keep supporting KPFK. It's listener sponsorship, the reason we are here. But we will be here next Friday. See you then.
As the go-to media outlet for Southern California progressive thinkers since 1959, KPFK is very proud of its legacy. But maintaining that legacy can be expensive. Become part of the KPFK community today by donating at kpfk.org. Just click on the Support KPFK button on the website to send your gift today. Because while ignorance can be costly, speaking truth to power is priceless. We'll be right back.